Before we get there, Serena Locke is here to run us through this week's biggest rural news. Good morning, Serena.
Hi, Clint.
Where else to start today but the topic on everyone's lips at the moment, the eye-watering costs of fuel.
Yes, and having just driven through the country, you have to turn a blind eye as you fill your tank. It's definitely starting to hit the wallet. And so why are we talking about it on a country breakfast? Well, eventually sharp rises in transport costs start to add to the cost of fresh produce, which gets moved around the nation in trucks, of course. Now, this week, the federal government faced calls from within its own ranks to consider temporarily reducing the fuel excise to save motorists at the bowser. And these include South Australian Premier Stephen Marshall, who's made it part of his re-election campaign, and also National Senator for Victoria, Anne Webster. The fuel excise is a flat tax placed on fuel, currently sitting at just over 44 cents per litre, which the government argues pays for maintaining roads. And that's why the member for Parks in regional New South Wales, Mark Colton, reckons the excise should be left alone for now.
Well, yeah, my constituents in my large electorate are big users of fuel and they travel large distances. They also need to make sure that that road maintenance is going on. So if it's going to be a more permanent rise, I think that we need to look at some form of relief. But my feeling is that it's a little early yet.
Well, one solution, of course, is to just not be so reliant on fuel in the first place. And a trucking company thinks there's an easy way to do that.
Yes, it's dinner party conversation, isn't it? EVs. Mm. But one regional freight operator thinks the long-term solution is to speed up the transition to electric vehicles. Ron Crouch Transport specialises in carrying animal nutrition and rural supplies, canned food, industrial, agricultural chemicals and automotive parts. Managing Director Jeff Crouch says electric trucks are already available overseas and he wants to see some changes to road regulations to make them viable for the Australian market.
We need to have more electric vehicle recharging facilities that are suitable for heavy vehicles. We've got very strict weight limits we have to abide by, but batteries into heavy vehicles are very, very heavy. So it's uneconomical in other respects to have an electric truck because of the less weight can carry on there. That can be fixed by legislative change with the various jurisdictions. So there are ways to get around that.
Overseas now, and Australian wool exporters are concerned an extended coronavirus shutdown in China will have flow-on effects for wool demand and prices here in Australia.
Yes, earlier in the week, China's government responded to a spike in COVID-19 infections by shutting down its southern business centre of Shenzhen, a city of more than 17.5 million people. All businesses except that supply food, fuel and other necessities were ordered to close or work from home on Monday. And President of the Australian Council of Wool Exporters and Processors, Josh Lamb, says the industry is hoping the lockdown will be short and sharp.
They're locking down provinces, which means wool can't move from one province to another. And there's 3 to 4 destinations in the processing of early stage processing of wool in China. So that wool needs to move between provinces to be processed and turned into a final product. And what that means for the wool industry is that our customers, if they can't move their product and they can't get paid, and that might have a negative effect on the wool market going forward if it's an extended lockdown.
Staying with China, and the crops there don't look too flash this year.
Yes, China has foreshadowed that this year's wheat crop could be the worst ever. And China watchers say this sort of admission about problems with the crop are almost unheard of. And now, in addition, Beijing has announced a massive handout of $250 million to the nation's farmers to encourage them to maximise production. And Nick Crundall, who's head of strategy at Market Check, says these sort of government pronouncements almost never happen.
If you look at the production out of China, it's unusually stable, which you can take out of what you will in terms of the data that flows out of China. But yeah, they basically come out, as you said, and said it's going to be, as bad as it's been. And now they're trying to basically put some policies or do what they can to try and improve the situation, which has been the newer news in the last couple of days.
Well, a low crop in China will mean that it will have to buy more from the international market. And from what we're seeing right now, it won't come cheap.
Yeah, so this devastating Russian invasion of Ukraine is continuing to drag on. And the impact on global commodity prices is starting to become slightly clearer. A large chunk of the Ukrainian wheat crop, nearly 10 million tons, is sitting at risk, which could throw the global market into chaos. Now, Paul Willows from XLD Commodities says Ukrainian exports have stopped and the infrastructure there is so badly damaged that prices may stay high for a long time.
It's meant that we've seen wheat prices rally from around $360 a tonne to $400 a tonne for new crop delivery. And canola prices have now rallied for new crop delivery well above $800 a tonne. And for both of those crops, you know, that's historically high price for this time of year.
The wheat market isn't the only one going on a tear at the moment.
No, you can add dairy to that list, Clint. Farmgate milk prices have increased significantly across the world's major dairy export regions, and further rises in milk prices are possible. Rabobank says in its latest global dairy quarterly report that even before the Russia-Ukraine conflict, dairy commodity prices were soaring due to a shortage, and that the major dairy export regions are grappling with poor weather or margin erosion from rising feed costs. And senior dairy analyst Michael Harvey says the global market is currently in uncharted territory.
When you're looking at the supply picture, and Australia's part of this story, we've seen, you know, the export engine for milk supply around the world really grind to a halt. So you're talking about a really poor season in New Zealand. You've got obviously production slowing down in South America, and you've got production that's declining year on year in the Northern Hemisphere as well. So the export engine that we talk about that supplies milk to the global market has ground to a halt, and it's not very often that you get the total production pool out of the export engine declining at the same time, and we're very near that. So that's why we've got this firming commodity market.
In a bit of a sense that there's an election on the way, a new alliance of animal welfare organisations has formed ahead of the federal election to push for an overhaul of Australia's animal welfare laws.
And the co-director of the Australian Alliance for Animals, Dr. Jed Goodfellow, says the group's reform agenda includes the establishment of an independent national commission for animal welfare, the creation of ministerial portfolios for animal welfare, and a transparent process for creating national animal care standards. Now, the core members of the alliance are Compassion in World Farming, Four Paws Australia, as in the number four, Humane Society International Australia, World Animal Protection Australia, and Voiceless. Dr. Goodfellow says the current system is failing to meet community expectations for animal husbandry in the way livestock and poultry are treated.
After a long period of time working in animal welfare policy, we identified that we weren't making any progress and governments were simply not investing sufficiently in producing robust animal welfare standards, nor in terms of monitoring compliance with those standards. So we very much saw a need to unite the animal protection sector to pool our collective resources.
Halal certification was a bit of a hot button issue for a while. I think I even remember there was an attempt to boycott Vegemite when it got certified. But thankfully, rational heads have prevailed and some new data suggests that's paying dividends.
Yeah, so the global market for halal certified products is set to nearly double by 2030. And Australian exporters are in a good position to profit after recent international trade negotiations. An MOU was signed between Austrade and Malaysia's Halal Development Corporation, and exporters are set to gain greater access to Malaysia's rapidly growing food sector, which currently imports over $190 million worth of halal-certified Australian sheep meat per year, which is 71% of all the sheep meat in their country. Now, Senior Trade and Investment Commissioner to Malaysia and Brunei, Paul Sander, says better ties with Malaysia help improve existing ties with Indonesia and the Middle East.
Obviously, our beef and sheep meat exports, but also our cereals, juices, a dairy industry, just to name a few of them, are really welcomed in Malaysia. And the supermarkets are full of Australian products. We're seeing really increasing interest from cosmetic and skincare producers, for example, supplement manufacturers, to look really seriously at halal certification.
Serena, let's finish rural news in the NT. We talked about grain and dairy markets pushing into uncharted highs, but there's one more crop in the top end that's also fetching top dollar right now.
And that would be okra. No, it's a small green tube-like veggie with white seeds. It looks like a star. And it's a vital ingredient in Indian or Lebanese, even African cuisine. And at the moment, they're super expensive. And it's because so many crops have been wiped out by the floods in Queensland and New South Wales. So the top-end growers are the ones cashing in on the high price. According to Kevin True from Sydney Markets, the price for okra has nearly doubled and hit record levels of up to $14 a kilogram.
Never ever I've seen this high. Once maybe we'll get like a 1-2 week where, you know, there's just a funny week where there's a slight shortage, but not up to this price. We've seen about $12, the highest I've seen.
Yeah, when I was a frequent shopper at the Riverland Farmers Market, I saw okra and decided to challenge myself to cooking something new, and the result has scarred me for life. So I think I need one of those experiences where you go to a really good chef and taste what it's supposed to taste like rather than the disaster that I chefed up.
Yeah.
Hey, Serena, thank you so much for that wrap of Rural News this week.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Clint. Thank you.